Morning.
Morning.
How is everyone? I probably should start by confessing. That's always a good thing to do. As beautiful as the day is today, I have a strong temptation to cut the message very short, maybe read a verse, say a prayer. I want to go running, so, but I will resist that temptation. Why don't we pray and then we will get to work. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, because you love us. Thank you because you've given us your word and you speak to us. God, I thank you for all the different times you've spoken to us this week as we've each individually and with our families read your word. That is so powerful and we thank you for that, God. That's an evidence of your grace. And now in this moment as we open your word together, and we all sit together under your word and listen to what Jesus said, we ask that together, collectively, your Spirit would move through us and through our hearts, and that you would touch us through your Spirit, that you would draw us to you, that you would help us to have our minds be open to understand what Jesus wants for us and from us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So, we just finished a little mini-series in Matthew 5 called The Beatitudes. We went through, and if you want to flip there, we'll be picking up basically where we left off. We looked at a series of sayings that Jesus gave, and then he appears to totally change the topic, but as Mike pointed out to me last week afterwards, which was very, very helpful in forming where we're going today, he doesn't really change the topic. He kind of continues it. In fact, this is like the epilogue of the Beatitudes. This is what happens in you and through you and what your life will look like the more that you put into practice what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 3 through verse 12. It took like 2 months to go through that, so I'm not going to cover it all in like a summary. If you go to I Want Peace with God, you can click on the English button and see any of the messages. Well, not see, listen to any of the messages that you might have missed. But where we're at today is verse 13, and here Jesus starts saying, okay, this is what your lives will look like. This is what will be the result of your life as you live out what I just went over and what I just said. And what we see here, what I saw here as I first looked over this, this is really the solution to the vanity of life. Let me say it this way. Have you ever asked yourself if your life has meaning or purpose? You ever asked yourself that question? I'm guessing if you're human, I ask myself that probably more than I should. Sometimes we ask ourselves that question, does my life have meaning? Does it have purpose? When I'm gone, will I be missed? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing in my life? Am I just turning the crank and getting through another day? Or is there something meaningful behind my life? And a lot of times when we evaluate our lives, when we think about that question, and the reason it's a recurring question a lot of times is because we don't feel like our lives have as much meaning or as much purpose as they could have. And the reason they don't is because we focus so much on our little lives and our goals and our small kingdom, our little world. So as you think about that, okay, what are some of your goals? What do you want to achieve with your life? What's your purpose? What are the main focuses of your life today? What's your life focused on? What do you want to get out of life? If you could imagine with me, okay, you're at the end of your life. Maybe you've just left this life and you're just looking back. And if you could imagine thinking in that moment, I don't know if you'll be able to consciously think at that very moment, but what would you want to be able to say about the life that you just lived? What would you want to be able to say about yourself and who you were? What would you want to be able to describe if you could, you know, write a quick blog post right at the very end about what your life had accomplished and what you were leaving behind you? What would you want to be able to say in that moment so that you could say, I didn't waste it. I'm glad I lived that life. Now, it's really heavy things to be talking about right off the bat, isn't it? Should have started with a joke or something, but That's reality, isn't it? That's okay. What someday we all will be there. What do you want to say looking back, or be able to say, or have be said about you? See, when we think about that, I think one of the reasons that's heavy is because we know that there has to be more to life than what we're currently experiencing. I know that there has to be more purpose to life than what I live. That life is going by, and I want to leave something behind. I want my life to count for something, and I'm never quite happy with what I am living and leaving behind. I think the reason we feel that way is because our purpose, our goals, our focus, what we want to achieve in life is too small. Our purpose, no matter how good our purposes are and our goals are, it's too small. God made us for something bigger than what we normally live for. And because of that, we always feel this angst, like there's more. There's something bigger. There's something. I could be doing something better and bigger with my life. I don't know what it is. Doctors Without Borders. I don't know what. Something bigger is out there that I should and could be part of than my own little small focus. And the truth is that there is a bigger purpose. And in these verses, Jesus tells us what the big purpose is for his followers. And he kind of pulls back the curtains and says, okay, if you want to get to the end of your life and not look back and say, I wasted it, if you want to live in such a way that every day you don't feel the angst of, there has to be something more than just this daily grind. And okay, I stayed alive for another day. That's not the goal. Well, what is it? What is it? Read Matthew 5, verse 13 and following with me. Jesus says to his followers, so he's not telling everyone this, he's telling the people who are following him this, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus says, you have a purpose. You're my followers. You're supposed to be salt and light. The big idea that I see in this is Jesus is telling his followers, Jesus' followers are supposed to be world changers. We're supposed to have a major impact on the world around us. That's our purpose. That's our reason for living. That's the reason we're on this planet. That's the reason, if you're a Christian, that you're a Christian, because Jesus wants your life to have an impact, an influence, a transforming power on the people around you. That's why we feel like there's something more, because there is something more. We're called to be world changers. We're called to change people around us. We're called to illuminate people around us. That's just as much physically in their physical lives, but even more spiritually. We're supposed to have a changing, illuminating effect on the families that are around us, on marriages that are around us, on people going through difficult times that are around us. We're supposed to help people be connected to their Heavenly Father. That's the purpose for our lives. That's what Jesus says our lives are supposed to be. Let's go back to Matthew 5. Look at the words he uses. You're the what? You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Look at salt first. What does salt do? Salt makes things better. I mean, if you like narrowed it down, right, you can make a list of all the different good things salt does, but really, salt just makes things better. You know, when you're cooking, and do you ever do this? I love doing this. I'm cooking something, I taste it, and it's just bland. So I add a little bit of salt. It's like, ooh, it's a little bit better. And I keep adding. You add salt with your hand, right? You don't shake, or what is that? You take a little salt in your hand, and you dump it in with your hand. You feel the grains, and you mix it up, and then you taste a little bit. If it's for your family, you can use the same spoon you mix with. And then you taste, and finally it gets to that point. It's like, ooh, that's what that's supposed to taste like. That's what pumpkin soup is supposed to taste like. It has that flavor. It tastes like pumpkin. It didn't taste like pumpkin until I put enough salt in. Now it does. Better stop, because now it's going to taste like salt if I just keep putting salt in. Salt makes things better. It changes them. That's what salt is supposed to do. When Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, he's saying you are God's transforming change agents in the world. You're supposed to make things better around you. We're supposed to connect people with the transforming power of God. That's our purpose. We're supposed to better their physical life, and we're especially supposed to better their spiritual, eternal destiny. We're supposed to change people by helping them become forgiven and adopted and beloved and accepted children of God who are connected to their Heavenly Father. We're supposed to change people. We're supposed to transform people. And then he says, you're the light of the world. What does light do? Light illuminates, right? Light makes things bright. You could see when the light's turned on. The light illuminates everyone who sees the light. It brings illumination. We are God's illumination. We're supposed to bring the light of God to the world around us. We're God's light in the world around us. We're supposed to reflect God's light to other people. We're supposed to light up something. What are we supposed to light up? Not how good you are and how good I am. We're supposed to light up how good God is. We're supposed to make God be visible, make God be shown so that people can know what God is like. And by looking at us so that they could see what God is like, because we imitate God, and they're supposed to be able to look at us and see what being in a relationship with God is like. What would that concept, I'm God's child and he loves me, what does that look like? And we're supposed to live in such a way that people can look at us and say, oh, that's what it looks like to have a totally satisfying, totally accepted relationship with the God of the universe. That's what it looks like. Filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? They're supposed to look at us and be able to say, that's what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. We're supposed to illuminate. We're supposed to bring light and reflect the light of God. We're supposed to be salt and light. And if you hear that and you say, ah, that's heavy. That's a weighty task. How do I have to be light and salt? So now, in addition to putting food on the table and being a good father or mother or wife or husband and all the different things I have to do, now I'm supposed to be salt and light. I'm supposed to illuminate and show God's light, and I'm supposed to change people with God's power around me. That's a weighty task. I don't know if I can do that. Look at what he says in verse 13 and 14. He says, you what? Are. You got to look at every word. So this is the coolest part of this verse. He doesn't say, go be this. He says, you are this. If you're my followers, you are light and salt. And then he describes what we do, how to live as light and salt. But here's, I'm going to draw this out a little bit, but get the idea. He's saying, what you do comes from who you are. Your identity, who you are in Christ, in your relationship with God, is going to drive, is going to push, is going to motivate, is going to inform how you live, what you do. So I normally think of this the other way around. I normally think that what I do determines who I am. So if I'm kind of, you know, gruff and abrupt and mean, and I forget to buy flowers, and I forget an anniversary or a birthday, I am a bad husband, exactly. And if I do all those things, then I am a... See, what I do informs who I am. Jesus says, no, it's actually the opposite. The message of the gospel, read Paul's letters, the message of the Bible is it's actually the opposite. Who you are informs what you do. I read this and I say salt and light, and for my whole entire life I've always read it and said, okay, I need to be salt. I need to be light. I need to be that. And that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying you are that. If you're my follower, you are light. You are salt. He's saying that's who you are. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. He's already made us light and salt. When he saves you, when God saves you, his transforming power comes into your life. You are born again. You receive his Spirit. You are forgiven. You are become God's dearly beloved child. You become God's change agent in the world. You become salt. You become filled with God's Spirit, and you become a living representation of your Father, of someone who's submitted to God. You become light. We are made salt and light when we come into a relationship with God. And don't miss this, because this is a section in a message where the focus is on what we do. Don't miss the grace in this. When he says you are salt, you are light, that comes from the outside. It's not God coming to us and saying, be something that you're not. From the outside, God comes in and says, I have made you salt. I have made you light. And it's so then when we act as salt and light, it's not because of ourselves. When you help someone change, so you have a salting, a bettering influence in their life, when you study with someone and they get baptized, it's not because of you, it's because that has come from the outside, God's Spirit in you. When you show someone better, more completely what God is like and what it's like to be in a relationship, when you bring God's light to someone's life, that's not because of you. You're reflecting light that came from the outside, from God. And since it comes from God to us through his Spirit and through his power in us, then that's grace. He's not saying you're salt and light. Well, good for you. You've become something. Now be proud of that. It's God has graciously made you this. Why are Jesus' followers the salt of the earth, the light of the world? Because God has had compassion on people like you and I that do not deserve to be used by God. They do not deserve. I've done nothing in my life to be able to deserve reflecting God's goodness. I should be an object of his wrath. But no, he's made me a reflection of his goodness to some extent in you as well. That's by his grace. We don't deserve it, but we are beloved by God and then used by him to bring other people closer to him. Doesn't that bring just a sense of peace and kind of relief? Be salt, be light. You are salt. You are light. That's your identity. There's relief in that. Jesus isn't saying be something you're not. That gives relief. It also takes away pride. The more that you're used by God to help other people know him and see him, the more there's a tendency in our flesh to kind of puff up, and somebody gets baptized and you want to make sure everybody knows, I studied with that person. I had a hand in that. Someone comes to church who's new, and I'm doing something. I did something. I invited. I want to be known for what I do for God. I want other people to know the good things that I do. But see, when God makes you salt, a bettering influence, or when he makes you light, someone who reflects his glory to the people around you, and you realize that's not because of who I am, it's not because of what I've done, then when God does incredible things through you and helps other people know him because of you, when you're able to talk with your neighbors and help their marriage be saved by the power of the gospel, then you don't get puffed up, and I'm such a good person. Isn't it incredible that God would use someone like me and you to change people and to help people and to help other people know him? Our pride is removed because it's not what we do, it's what he makes us be. But then, so the focus is not on, he says you are. He starts off by saying you are, this is your identity, but then what is he saying? He says, act like what you are. You're salt, so be salty. You're light, so let your light be seen. You're supposed to act like what you are. You are God's salt and light. If you're a follower of Jesus, and you are God's salt and light in the world, so act like who you are. Don't hide your light. Who puts a light under a bushel? Who covers up a light? He's asking a rhetorical question. Of course you don't. Especially if the light is a candle, it'll set everything on fire. It'll just be destructive. That's not what you do with light. You don't cover it up. You put it up so that it can what? It can illuminate. That's what you do with light. So if you are light, Jesus is saying, act like light. act like God's light. Don't hide. And he's saying, and if you really are light, and if you're acting like light, what? You won't be able to hide it. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Why? Because there's light there. You can see it. You can't cover that up. You can't put a towel over that. You can't make it not be seen. So if you are God's light and you're acting as God's light, you're going to be seen. Jesus is saying, act like God's light. You are light. So shine. You are salt. So change the people around you. Fulfill your purpose. Act like what you are. And this comes at the very beginning. We see this comes with a great responsibility. When Jesus says you are salt and you are light, that's what God's made you. Now act like salt and light. Shine. Change people. And it's a huge responsibility. Look back at verse 13. Let me find my place here. You are the salt of the earth. And then look at this warning. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. What's he saying? It's a huge responsibility to be salt and light. So act like what you are. Why? Because it is incredibly serious when God's children don't fulfill their function, don't fulfill their purpose. That's why we go around with a sense of angst sometimes. It's like, I feel like there's something more. It's God's Spirit saying, there is. You're supposed to be salt. You're supposed to be light. You're supposed to be changing and bettering the people around you. You're supposed to be reflecting God's glory, connecting them with the Father. There is something more. Act like what you are. It's very serious. Why? Because he says salt. If salt doesn't work for what it's supposed to be used for, then it's worthless. It's only used to be thrown out. There's no good in this salt anymore. And he's saying it's very serious. There's serious consequences when God's children don't fulfill their purpose of being salt and light to the world around them. And look at how he ends it. And he starts it by saying it's very serious. You got to do this. You got to act like who you are. You got to be salt and light. And then he ends it by saying, this is an incredible opportunity. People will see you and they'll what? They'll worship God. So let your light shine before men so that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. He starts it with a serious warning and then he ends it with this incredibly inspirational thing. How incredible is it that people could see how you and I live and then say, I want to know that God. And let's not say I want to know that God, but I'm going to worship that God. I'm going to become a follower of that God. I'm going to give myself. I want to be like that person. I want to be like that person and have the peace that they have and the love that they have and the hope that they have and the joy that they have. I want to be like that person. I want to be like you. Well, so you are you because you're connected with God. I want to be connected with God. I am going to be a worshiper of God. That is the goal. We represent God. We reflect what God is like. We're God's. When the Bible says that we're God's, the body of Christ, we are the physical representation of God in the world. People are supposed to look at you and I and say, that's what God is like. That's why we're supposed to imitate Christ, so that people can look at us and say, that's what Jesus is like. And as we reflect what God is like, then he says, people will glorify your Father who is in heaven. They'll what? They'll worship. They'll become people who will also know God, who will give themselves to Jesus, who will worship God with their whole lives. That is the goal of everything that we do, of every study that we do, of every good deed we do. Every time you help someone, every time you're generous, every time you bite your tongue and you don't react in anger on the workplace, every time that you act like Jesus, every time that you are salt and light in the world, the goal of it is that people, other people, would be drawn to your Savior and that they would become God's children as well. That's why we exist. That's the purpose that we are in the world to fulfill, and that's what happens when we reflect God. So, practically speaking, how do we change the world with Jesus? How do we live as salt and light? How do we do that? I could give you a list. I thought about making up a list, and then I thought about what Mike told me last Sunday. I thought, well, just let's look up up the page. Look up at the Beatitudes. Jesus just gave us a list of how we can live as salt and light. So look up in your Bibles, Matthew 5, verse 3. He just told us how we can show God to people around us and change the world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew 5, 3, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we recognize publicly how bad, how wicked we are, that other people are changed, because then they also see that they can confess their wickedness. We reflect God's light by showing our confidence in His forgiveness when we're free to say, I'm a bad person. I'm not the person I should be. Look at verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we weep for our wickedness, for how bad we are, other people are changed because they see the destructive power of sin. We're not making light of something that is rebellion against God, and they're able to start taking their rebellion of God more seriously. We reflect God's light because we show the cross to be enormous the more that we weep for our sin. In verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That the more that we stop being our own boss, the more other people are changed because they see what repentance looks like, and they can step off the throne of their heart as well and stop being their own boss of their own life. We reflect God's glory and His light by lifting up and exalting the excellence of His sovereignty as we submit ourselves to that sovereignty. In verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. When we desire God, when we find our satisfaction in God and not in everything else, other people see that you truly can be satisfied in God. They see what it looks like to seek God, and we reflect God's light because God satisfies us more and more, and other people see that. They see how good He is. Look at verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. When we treat other people better than they deserve, they're changed by our generosity. We reflect God's light because we're showing them His love. Look at verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When we are pure in Christ, other people are changed because we show them how Christ has made us pure and how Christ can make them pure. In verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. When we make peace between other people and between other people and God, people are changed because we're guiding them to have peace with God by studying with them, by investing in friendships, by encouraging them, by pointing them in that direction. And we reflect God's light because His power and His love are seen in high definition, big screen display, as someone is saved. Look at verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we rejoice, even as we're being persecuted, we reflect God's light by demonstrating our true hope. And other people see that, and they see that we hope in something that is literally out of this world as we suffer well with Jesus. That's how you live as salt and light. So, if God's children are called to be change agents in the world, to reflect His glory, to bring His power to bear in the lives of other people, to be salt and light, if we're called to change our world, then we should live as salt and light. And I want to give you just a couple of practical things. Treat this like a multiple choice. Don't do all of them. Pick one, the one that you think, that one applies to me. These are ways that you can live as salt and light this week. The first one is being transformed by God. If you aren't a child of God, if you haven't made your own personal decision to follow Jesus by repenting and being baptized, if you haven't surrendered yourself to Him, then you live as salt and light by receiving God's transformation in you. Let him make you salt and light. Let him connect you to himself, and let him make you someone who can change people around you. Make your decision to follow Jesus. Repent and be baptized. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, just tell someone. That's one practical step. That's a big step, but it's a good one. Another step, if you already made that decision, maybe there's like something really, really specific. As I was talking about being salt and changing people and being light and reflecting God, maybe there's something specific, and I don't know what it would be because there's so many things it could be, but maybe God's Spirit has been, just as we've been talking about this, pushing on you and saying, you need to do that, or you need to change this in your life. You need to, there's something you need, something very specific that you feel that you need to do or change or be or whatever it would be. If God's giving you a specific step, something specifically that you need to do to be salt and light to the people around you, do that. Take that step. Don't leave today saying, well, in general, I'm going to be salt and light. Do the very specific thing that God has given you to do. Last step. This is the one that came to me this week, and I started trying to put it into practice, and it was, this is a small thing, but it just changes. It changes your day. It changes interactions with other people. It's just asking yourself the question, how can I be salt and light? You've heard this teaching, and now just, you know, as you get out of bed tomorrow morning or before you go into a meeting with someone, or you're going to go home and see your spouse, or you're going to talk with your children, or you're going to go play ball with a team, or you're going to do whatever you do throughout the day, you're getting ready to go into work, just say, okay, how can I be salt and light in this moment? Just ask yourself that question and just kind of sit on that question and just let it be there in your mind. And then as you're with the people that you're going to be with right after that, or as you're doing the thing you're going to do, whatever it is, that then God's Spirit will make your eyes open up to the opportunities and how you can be salt and light in that moment just by asking yourself the simple question and meditating on it and letting and opening the door for the Spirit to tell you. It removes some of our selfishness, and it opens our eyes to see the opportunities where we can be salt and light. Just ask yourself as you go through your day tomorrow, through this week, how can I be salt and light? And as we do that, as we live as people who are focused on not being salt and light, but knowing that we are salt and light, and now I need to act like I am God's change agent, reflecting his glory. As we live our lives like that, listen, we will feel fulfilled. We'll get to the end of every day, say, okay, that's what I was made for. I was made to reflect God's glory, to help other people be changed by him. It was a good day. If we live day after day like that, we get to the end of our lives, and then we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. We fulfill our purpose. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. Dear God, we thank you because you are so gracious. You give us the privilege to represent you in this world. You entrust people like us who are weak and so flawed and so prone to rebel against you. And you entrust us to be your physical representation in this world. So God, I pray that through the power of your Spirit, we would be able to represent you well, to be your change agents, to be your light to the people around us, and that because of each one of our individual lives, other people would come to see you, come to know you, and come to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.